Hello and welcome to another edition of You May or May Not Like It. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at xorsonx. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. And we're here with Mike. You can find on Twitter at Review and Roast or at MikeMiro7, but whatever, either or is fine.
I'll take it all.
Gross. You can find our website at reviewandroast.com, or you can find our Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast, or our Instagram, which I rarely plug because I always forget about it, instagram.com/reviewandroast. Pretty much anywhere at Review and Roast. Today, we're going to talk to you about Captain America Civil War. I don't think I need to go into too much detail because everyone knows what it is. So this is the third movie in the Captain America, I guess, line. I don't want to say trilogy because there's going to be more, obviously, but it is the first one that incorporates, you know, it's almost like another Avengers.
It's almost Avengers 3.
Yeah, almost, except they're, you know, Civil War. They're all fighting each other.
This picks up after the events of probably, I guess you could say, Age of Ultron. But technically, it picks up after Ant-Man chronologically in terms of the movie releases. But it more or less picks up after Ant-Man. Captain America, Scarlet Witch, and Black Widow are in Lagos, a place that I am very familiar with because I send cannons there every couple weeks. Woo! Anyway, they're there investigating some terrorist doings by Crossbones, who was one of the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents in The Winter Soldier. They're kind of following him around, and through a mishap, some people die. I won't get into how, because you'll want to see it in the movie, but innocent people die, and then it goes back to the States where...
And there's been a string of innocent deaths
right,
along the road. That's the building blocks here.
I believe it's the Secretary of State
Defense,
pulls
yeah.
Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State, some Secretary of something, pulls Tony Stark aside and says, hey... This is becoming too regular. This is becoming too frequent. You guys are operating without a license, pretty much, and the governments of the world aren't comfortable with it. We've got this thing called the Sokovia Accord that 117 countries have backed. We want you to sign on, essentially saying that you'll agree to operate within certain parameters, i.e., if there's a struggle happening in Nigeria, not necessarily something we feel you should be involved in, you will stay out of it, i.e., you know, they're going to be under government watch. Kind of different from the series, because the series was they were going to release their identities to the government,
right,
so they were constantly under surveillance, i.e., Captain America would be known to everyone as Steve Rogers, or Spider-Man would be known as Peter Parker. So that was definitely different.
Well, there was, and I'm not trying to cut you off or nothing, but The whole thing with Civil War in the comics was more of the... I'm all up in there. Well, the thing in the comics was it was more of like the registration act. So they sort of... Scott and I were talking, and I know, Brian, you and I haven't gotten a chance to talk about this movie until just now, but it's not exactly... I mean, I don't even know if I would have named it Civil War, because it's not exactly that. I mean, it is, but it isn't. In the effect that, yeah, we have divided sides, but they more or less want to make the Avengers as far as I was concerned, they want to make the Avengers like basically the UN's task force, right? I mean,
was
pretty like
much.
Basically you don't go there unless we say, and we're going to pick where you like. I mean, that's almost exactly like the UN's private army, which I could totally see happening, and was I didn't hate that line. I kind of liked how they did that, even though it did deviate from traditional Civil War comic books, if people are fans.
Yeah, and this is the part where someone goes, well, the comics were better because blah, or the movie's better because blah. I don't think either one's better than the other. I think this worked in the movie verse because of the events that came before it.
And it's easy to explain. You know what
I
mean? Instead of you only have an hour, these guys have had a decade of comics describing situations and actions. So you know, for ease of explanation, they just kind of laid it out there. Pick your sides, do your thing. Here we go.
Plus, when you factor in some of the characters that were in the comics that can't be in the films, like i.e. the X-Men.
The other 900.
Punisher.
I mean, there's legit, I mean, anyone that knows anything
Fantastic
about,
Four.
Yeah, who are an integral part.
They definitely had to rearrange how the thing was done. So, I mean, it's...
Right, so they made it basically more of... It should have been Avengers Civil War, because this wasn't a Civil War of enhanced. It was more of just a Civil War between the Avengers as a team, where... You know what I'm saying?
It was, but Steve Rogers and Tony Stark were integral in having this storyline in the beginning, and the comics, and in the movie. Because they were... They're like the de facto leaders of the Avengers.
Right.
And they're kind of the de facto leaders of their separate factions now. So.
Yeah. And you know what I read, too? I was reading comments, obviously, as you do. And people were actually upset at the sides that were picked because, obviously, they haven't read comic books. But, and I'm not picking on them for any reason, but they were saying that, you know, well, Tony Stark wouldn't be the guy to side with that. That would be Steve. And Captain America wouldn't be the guy to go rogue. That would be Tony Stark. And actually, that is incorrect according to comic book lore. Like, those are the sides that were the sides, you know?
I think, yeah, just by...
There was a lot of comments like that, that Captain America would never go against the government. And it's kind of like, did you watch The Winter Soldier?
Yeah, right.
I think they've got this...
He does what's right to him. You know what I mean? He's standing up for the...
What he believes.
Correct. Yeah, exactly.
Well, no, I mean, it is true, because, I mean, the whole thing with Captain America in current day is he's the man out of time. He comes from the time when, you know, fighting the Nazis and, you know, keeping the world...
Right, fight for what you believe in.
Keeping the world out of the grips of fascism, and now he's missed the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. He goes from 1944 to 2013, having missed 60... I mean, like, you remember beginning of not Civil War, Winter Soldier, when he's writing down all the things he missed over the previous decades,
right,
like Smokey Robinson and, oh, remember that, you know, the Big Red Machine back
in
the
70s. Star Wars on there. He had everything. It was,
yeah, he had a whole laundry list of things he had to go catch up on. And so to him, American values were vastly different than they are today. So he's going based off of how he grew up in Brooklyn or wherever, Queens. Or,
right,
right.
So to him, all this surveillance stuff is still like, what? Like, it's all
new
to
him. As it should
be.
Right.
That's creepy.
Well, he is using an iPhone in the movie, so.
Well, you know.
Well, he's been out of the ice for, he's been falling off.
Yeah, you
got to
check your email.
He was texting Sharon Carter going, is Peggy, she's still alive? All right, 10 more minutes.
Right. Who I did like in the movie, by the way.
Which one?
Sharon, I like that she was back and that they kind of explained her a little bit more. And gave her a little bit of...
She was in Winter Soldier?
Correct.
She was his neighbor.
I saw it once.
Yeah, the neighbor...
You never bring it over.
She was Agent 13.
I never bring it over, he says.
Yeah, I mean... But I did like that she was in it a little bit more. Overall, you know what, Brian? I mean, did you like the movie? We didn't even decide if we liked it or not.
I mean, if we're going to hold off on scoring.
Well, I'm not saying scored. I'm just saying we're kind of more dissecting it right now.
This was how I felt. Scott kind of told me this morning that he was not a big fan of the shaky cam at the beginning. And I kind of agreed because I had to see it in 3D. So it was just like,
I couldn't even imagine that.
Actually, the 3D was so flat most of the movie. I was just like, is this thing in 3D? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
He had the wrong glasses on.
Everyone knows I hate 3D, so...
The shaky cam was a little distracting, but I felt like they were focusing on small detail, which I really liked. Mm-hmm. Like I said, when Black Widow was running over those cars, like, they focused on, like, her knee from the knees down. So, like, they kind of...
Yeah.
They kind of pulled the camera through the action via the appropriate...
Angle.
Body, yeah, appropriate right, yeah. Angle, appropriate body parts, whatever you want to say.
No, yeah, I agree.
I just think, because I think the Russos kind of established themselves as being visually unique with Winter Soldier, and they did that more so with this movie. Because I think so many directors, you can't tell the difference, but mm-hmm. I think the Russos are getting to the point where it's like they're creeping into Nolan, Scorsese territory a little bit in terms of their they have a unique style, visual right. style, which I like.
Well, yeah, I didn't hate it. I obviously, I don't think anybody in the world is can be a super fan of shaky cam.
Well, like I'm saying, in certain situations, I can understand the use. I don't, not to say that I still don't like it, but like I said, you know,
smaller
like
doses.
The first 20 minutes, like when Tony Stark is on the stage at MIT giving a speech, they're shaky cam. When he's behind the scenes talking to that lady by the elevator, they're shaky.
Like, I did not see
any. And I'm not saying...
There were some hard angles with that. There,
I wouldn't even say...
Like, I don't remember the shaky, but...
Okay, like, for instance, when he's talking to that lady by the elevator, you can clearly see, like, the cinder blocks behind her, and it's all like... Like, it's just... It was so...
That was their psychedelia moment.
For those of you that couldn't see, Scott just did Casper the Friendly Ghost.
I totally did.
They did the psychedelia moment.
Yeah. I'm just saying, and it was like that.
Like, did somebody put mushrooms in my coffee?
And when I say shaky, I don't mean like the, you know, the Battlefield L.A. where it's.
Right.
I mean,
like, movie.
It wasn't like ridiculous, but
that movie,
I mean, the camera
movie.
Shouldn't move. No, I liked it, but
that movie was literally a camera on a string being dragged behind the eyes the whole movie.
Hey, tie the string to your ankle.
I was just going to say that. But I mean, like when you're standing still having a conversation with somebody, there's no reason for the camera to be moving.
Right.
None whatsoever. And to you know, and it's and like I said, it was like the first 20 minutes. Every single scene had a little bit of movement to the camera work, which is super annoying because A, it shouldn't happen, but B, then it just stopped, and then it was only a little bit during some of the fight scenes.
I feel like if they had done it throughout the entire movie, it would have been annoying. But in the beginning, it was chaos. Like people are running in all different directions, and I couldn't complain about the shaky cam moments because it was running from one fight scene to the next, and the close quarters combat was impressive.
Oh, most
throughout
of the
that entire
most,
opening
most combat
sequence
throughout the movie, I thought was
oh, it was all good. Was but the impressive. Opening fights where they're like chasing down Crossbones and all those like random SWAT team looking guys are just coming in and out of windows and stuff. That's all the close quarters combat looked authentic as could possibly be.
I'm not saying it wasn't authentic, but again, to me it reminded me, and you know, whatever, but like it kind of reminded me of, say, the Transformers. Every time there's a fight scene, the camera's so close to the action, it just looks like metal being smashed. You don't know what's what. And that's kind of how I, like when someone's fighting someone in the streets like that, you can't have the camera right like up in their face. Like you gotta get a bigger frame, I think. Mm-hmm. Some of those fight scenes, the camera was just too close.
And again, that could be a theater thing, and once you watch it at home, it might be a totally different...
It might be.
I think that might be right. I think if you sat in the back of the theater, maybe it's a smidge better. Who knows? I mean, we could probably... I don't want to waste 60 minutes talking about shaky cam.
No, I agree. I just want to make it fully aware that I think I might be overplaying a little, but I think you guys might be downplaying it a little.
No, I'm not saying I'm a fan, and I don't think anybody in the world could be, because it does get a bit ridiculous quickly.
Spit ridiculous?
Smidgen. But, yeah, so I agree. But having said that, Iron Man and War Machine were Iron Man and War Machine, but I think, and I'm, let me get to my point here, as far as Captain America, Winter Soldier, even Black Widow, and then, again, I didn't want to bring him up too early, add Black Panther into the mix, I think the fight scenes were so much better than anything Marvel has actually honestly put out. I think every time Captain America has come, and again, this is coming from a not Captain America fan, every time he comes up, every movie he's in, his fight scenes get better and better and better and better and better.
Well, then, from a self-avowed Captain America fan, I will say, I'll throw the hammer down right now and say, there is no... recurring, I'm not going to say just comic book, there is no recurring film character right now that is as gratifying to watch for me as Steve Rogers. Like, he is...
Who would have thought Chris Evans?
You know, when they cast him, I was like, man, he looks just like... Because we were talking
looks
about,
good.
We were
I
talking
mean,
about
obviously.
It earlier. Paul Rudd's fine as Ant-Man, but because the Ant-Man character is more about the costume, you could have put Danny DeVito in that costume. It would still been kind of
be
awesome.
Amazing.
Because as long as you could do the humor, you don't have to necessarily look like Scott Lang because nobody cares. But Steve Rogers has a specific look. So, yeah, I mean, Chris Evans.
Like, and quick side note on that guy. The scene where he's with the helicopter where he's holding them back.
Oh,
they gratuitously showed them guns.
Oh my
that guy is crazy. I'm not trying to get all
I almost took
I love
my shirt
this
off.
Guy
I'm
but I went home and did some push-ups.
Like I get
true story. I did 20. Give him 20.
I don't think you did.
I could feel nipples all around the theater getting like, oh, and I was like,
that guy is crazy.
I'm like, what?
Stacked.
What?
I mean, holy, I'm telling you. Again, I don't want to go on a crazy rant.
I was
about
to do
Chris
the talk
Evans.
Dirty to me right there.
Seriously, but he was no. And again, I want to just reiterate the fight scenes. The I wanted to say kicking and jumping, but that sounds childish. But the kicking and jumping is ridiculous.
No, and there is nothing more like yes than seeing Steve Rogers double drop kick somebody in the face,
he's killing it, and then add Black Panther with this acrobatic ass whippings.
Oh
dude,
my god!
I'm not gonna lie, man. Black Panther almost stole the show.
Yeah, he did.
Hate the fact that he was in it quite often, but I hate the fact that I actually feel like they underutilized him really.
Well, he's got his own movie coming.
No, I know, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But my favorite part about Black Panther was there was probably six or seven times, and I don't know if you picked up on it, when he drops in, and it's quiet. He just bloop. Like when he jumps off a bridge and he hits the ground and there's not a sound. You know what I mean? Like,
that's how panthers do.
I know that, but the way they did it, I think it was
everything.
The way
about
he
that
moves
character was just
and
perfect.
Moves silently is just amazing. The guy that plays him,
Chadwick Boseman.
I'm not extremely well versed in the comic version. I've picked up a few, but he's amazing. That guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he was. I mean, that guy is, again, a fantastic cast, as far as I'm concerned. Couldn't be better.
There's really nobody in this movie where I was just like, nah, they could have got someone else.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Rudd kills it.
I'm not going to lie, and this might not make sense to most people, but, like, I actually got super pumped for Howard Stark.
Oh, I love that guy, yeah.
Well, he was a huge, huge character on Mad Men, which everyone knows. I just finished binging the entire series.
Let's go back to what we recorded earlier. He had an amazing episode of 30 Rock.
Oh, did he?
Remember when he was running for Senate and Jack Donaghy decided to back him because he was like one of these guys that live in the middle of the woods? He was running as a Republican and Jack Donaghy was going to like prop him up, but then he came on TV and started making all kinds of crazy claims about, I'm going to make everybody chop wood with an axe. And they're like, oh my god, this guy is crazy.
Dude, he was even on Arrested Development. I don't remember that.
I remember that.
And now he's in Wet Hot American Summer. I feel like I need to watch that.
Who, Howard Stark?
Stark. You know what? Actually,
I watched a few episodes of that. I wasn't overly...
Oh my god,
he liked it, right?
What? He was Howard Stark in Iron American Man Summer? 2.
Eh, it was okay.
Yeah, I was kind of like, meh. I
great
didn't
cast.
It was
just okay, though.
Yeah, the cast is outstanding.
When Captain America shows up and dropkicks Michael Ian Black, though, whew. I had to kind of rope it back in.
Yeah, just totally, because I was about to go off on this guy. So,
yeah,
John Slattery. I don't know. He's awesome. He is so awesome.
Hey, let's start a John Slattery podcast.
We probably could.
We'll go
but
watch
you guys need to go watch
ever...
Mad Men.
Yeah, I definitely
we'll watch
would.
Everything he ever did. We'll talk about it. So the episode of T.J. Hooker you was on.
He probably was.
Battlestar Galactica.
All right, buying bananas.
So I guess, you know, one of the biggest things of the Civil War obviously came out about a month or two ago was the introduction of Spider-Man into the MCU.
Which you have huge issues with.
I wouldn't say huge.
No, you have huge.
But I do have issues with... Okay, let me... Right off the bat, like, the main fight scene that they're all in at the airport, Spider-Man is awesome. But...
Do you like websites?
Peter Parker... Peter Parker was... I was not feeling the Peter Parker.
What about you?
Loved it.
You like,
I hate Spider-Man.
Did you like Tom Holland?
Yes.
Did you?
Because, okay, like I said, I was talking to my friend last night. We went to the movie, and he's like, what did you think of Spider-Man? I go, this is the first time I've liked both Spider-Man and Peter Parker, and here's why. I just hate Tobey Maguire. He's just irritating. He's like...
I liked Tobey the first one, and then by the third one, I wanted to punch his face.
Yeah, emo Spider-Man is not a thing.
Well, everyone... I've talked about Spider-Man 3 being terrible, and I'm not going to get into it.
I just feel like I tried watching that movie Pleasantville, and like I couldn't get through the first half hour because every time Tobey Maguire's stupid face was on screen, I was like, I hate this movie. I don't even want to watch it now.
Yeah, aren't you a fan of Seabiscuit, though?
Seabiscuit's a good movie.
All right, don't mess with my horse.
But doesn't it has nothing to do with Tobey Maguire.
He's in it, though, isn't he?
So what? So is Jeff Bridges. He's in it.
And I like Jeff Summers. Whoa, 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 guy. Jeff Bridges, trying to be all mean? Don't start bashing the Bridges brothers.
No, Bo Bridges, that guy, fuck him. No, I'm kidding.
Anyway, let's get back to Spider-Man. Let's get back to Tom Holland.
All right,
he's the guy in this movie.
I don't like Tobey Maguire. Andrew Garfield I thought was good, but I think the hipster, like, Arcade Fire version of Peter Parker was stupid.
I liked Andrew Garfield a lot, and I would have loved to see them nab him and just kind of...
Make Spider-Man not 14.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm over the fact that they went young. I was not a big fan of it. I didn't want to see, you know, junior in high school Peter Parker again. So, but it is what it is. It's over with. I can't change it because nobody cares what I think.
I like the fact that he had, like, this nervous energy about him. Yeah, where he was, like, in awe of everybody around him. He was like, oh, my God, Ant-Man, you're awesome. Dude, Captain America, huge fan. I'm like, this guy's pretty awesome. And even when...
I like when he's fighting Captain America and then he salutes him.
Yeah.
Remember that? That was actually... I mean... He does. I was sold on him. So, I mean, as much as I hate to admit it, because I hated everything about them changing everything up and going for almost, let's just say, sort of a reboot again on Spider-Man. But
oh no, it's coming.
I'm fine with it.
Well, and that's actually the thing, if you really think about it, because I know one of your biggest complaints before was, you know, when in the comics in Civil War, Spider-Man is in his 20s. You know, he's not a kid.
He's a grown man, and he's a big part of everything.
And he makes a conscious decision to be on Iron Man's side, where in this movie, it's more like, if you don't join me, I'm telling your aunt who you are.
Right.
And he's like, okay.
Like, you're on the team.
You know, so he didn't, you know, so who knows? Maybe he would have been on the other side if he had a choice.
In the comics, he makes a switch. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't.
But he ends up. He goes.
I guess
with,
I don't need to read him now, though. So thanks.
No, you don't. He ends up. Well, I mean, if you haven't read him, you're not gonna. And if you have, you know what I'm talking about. But he ends up with Captain America, anyways.
Well, here's the thing.
So that storyline could play out at some point in time with the Infinity Wars or whatever.
I don't know. It's just weird seeing a 14-year-old hanging out with a bunch of 40-year-olds.
That kid's 18. A. B.
Yeah, in real life, not in the movie.
Well, in the movie, it's like 16.
They're like, you don't even have a driver's license. No, I don't. You just associate that with, oh, you're 16, you have a license. So obviously you're not 16.
No, he's got to be 16.
I'm just saying.
It's not possible.
Any excuse to have Marissa Tomei as Aunt May, I am totally okay with.
See, Scott hated it, and I liked it. I thought it was good.
I love Marissa Tomei.
No, apparently you don't.
But Aunt May, again, and this is the thing.
She should be old and haggard.
She has been.
He's starting to sound like me now, right?
I'm just saying. She's been old and gray.
If John Bernthal can be the Punisher, then
I'm still talking. Why?
She needs to have her leg amputated from gangrene and teeth missing.
Just saying.
No, I'm
wearing
not saying
the same
you have,
shitty house dress every day.
To this
she
guy.
Smells
the guy
horrible.
That talks about Jesus Christ, Carrie Fisher looks like shit now.
She
well,
does.
She's
hey, take
old.
It easy with Carrie Fisher.
But my point is, if you're going to stick with
Carrie Fisher,
Spider-Man's
like got to
be a
bag.
Kid, then why aren't you sticking with Aunt May's got to be in her 60s?
And Marissa Tomei is like 55.
She's old.
She's a little on the old side.
She is.
But she's old enough to be Aunt May.
I don't know.
Here's the thing. Carrie Fisher looks like a wet grocery bag.
Hey, God, dude, you
get
are
off
the
of Carrie Fisher right now, guy. Before I get upset,
she smells like an old couch. I'm sure.
All right. Anyways,
what do you think you smell like?
The point is, Marissa Tomei has an extremely such a minimal role that we've wasted way too much time talking about this part of the movie. So let's move on.
What part?
This part.
Which part?
This part.
Your part.
This part.
Who talks first?
Who's on first?
So, anywho. So we're all in agreement that we didn't hate Spider-Man. Some of us...
This is my favorite version of Spider-Man.
I don't think it's my favorite. It's as good as The Amazing Spider-Man.
I still hate Spider-Man, though.
So, yeah. I was never not a fan. I was more of a Venom fan as a comic reader, but that was destroyed for me in Cinematic Universe, so who cares?
The best character in the Spider-Man cinematic verse is Randy Macho Man Savage. Everybody knows that.
True that.
Man, why you gotta like bring up some stuff?
Yeah. Why you gotta bring up the tearjerkers?
Hey, be a man, Hogan.
Dude.
I forgot all about that rap album that Randy Savage did.
Best morning before work I ever had.
I need to go fucking dig that up. I got it somewhere.
So we'll get back into Spider-Man and Are we just, I guess we're into the major battle?
Well, actually, I wanted to mention, I wanted to mention something he said to me earlier, because I didn't catch it, and I don't know if you did, but he wasn't, he was ragging on Scarlet Witch.
What about her?
He said that, you know, her acting wasn't the greatest, and she kept dropping out of the accent. I didn't.
Her acting was okay. It just every so often she'd be like, "So Tony, what are we having for dinner later on? Are we going to watch TV? What's going on?" I mean, and now she'd go right back to talking like in a Russian accent.
I didn't really notice it that much.
And I was like, "Oh God, that's not good." Maybe again, I might get
it. It was
DVD.
Probably the 3D glasses.
Yeah, had to guess, I mean, it could.
Say this: I watched it with probably the rowdiest crowd of millennial teenagers ever, because they were getting up and going to the bathroom like every 5 minutes.
I couldn't even.
"What are you? You guys literally have an IV full of like Pepsi here? What's going on?"
I made it the whole movie without going
sit
pee.
Down.
It's kind of a big deal.
It was for me too, because kind of like deal. I was. Before it started, I'm like, man, I should go.
I know, right?
Not to mention.
But, like, we always sit in the middle of the aisle.
So I know. Like, I keep thinking 2.5 hours. I'm like,
Not to mention, a lot of this movie kept changing locations. So it was like Berlin, Lagos, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. The guy on the other side of James, every single time they flashed a city, he had to say where it was. So it was like Berlin. He's like, "That's in Germany. Yep, that's in Nigeria." It's like, shut.
Why? What is he, a geography?
Because he's a geography major, and he had to tell his best friend that he came with. Yeah. It's like, this is why you're with him and not a woman. Right. And I'm with a guy too, so never mind. It's weird.
That got weird.
Yeah, it did.
So and we, for me, again, we discussed, or I don't know if we discussed it, but I brought up the fact that it was more of an Avengers fight than a Civil War movie. So.
Isn't that basically all the Civil War is, though, is the fighting between the Avengers?
No.
I mean,
it's the fighting between all.
I mean, I know you have more, but obviously they can't wait for that to happen.
No, I understand. And again, that was the whole point of, I don't know if they had to really go all out calling this thing Civil War, in my opinion.
Or they could have went the Deadpool route and just grabbed some of the no-name X-Men.
I think they
people.
Just went for an easy... you know, an easy title that people would be able to associate with. You know what
See,
I mean?
I feel like non-comic book people don't know about Civil War.
Right, and that's why they could get away with calling it that, and they lured the rest of us in with calling it that, thinking they'd give us something. But again, I didn't think... I knew going into it that it wouldn't be... There's no way to make it true to form. You know what I mean? So, you know, and you saw all the memes of, you know... The MCU Civil War, and they show the five people flying against five people, and then they show the actual comic version, and it's 1,000 against 1,000. So you know that it's going to be more the way it is.
And at that point, you got to like revitalize Rodney Dangerfield to play somebody,
right? I mean, there's not.
I'm
enough.
Okay with.
Yeah,
it.
I would have been in the movie for crying out loud.
I don't get any respect as the Punisher or whoever.
That would be great.
So I actually thought it was. Going into it, you almost you knew what was going to happen as far, and they actually have a twist, but you knew what was going to happen the same way you knew what was going to happen in Batman versus Superman. You knew that it was going to be Batman versus Superman, but you knew it wasn't going to, you knew they were going to team up, obviously.
They need to do a
before that
one.
Movie started, you knew that they're going to fight, they're going to meet, they're going to argue, they're going to fight, and then they're going to be like, oh, we're cool. And
that's actually what I like the most about the fight scene at the airport when they're all fighting. He's like,
right.
But we're still friends, right?
Yeah. Like,
depends how hard you hit me.
there was a couple good you could see it. And again, you hit it right on the head with that. It was actually pretty funny because Scarlet Witch steps in on that one, right?
I believe so.
Because it's Clint and Black Widow are fighting each other. And they're sort of kind of giving each other the business as they're fighting and – hey, we're still cool, and Scarlet Witch comes in and, you know, intervenes and tells, I keep wanting to call him Arrow.
Hawkeye.
Tell Hawkeye that, I saw you pulling your punches, so I had to handle that or whatever.
What if they did,
so
like, a
funny.
Sitcom with, like, Hawkeye and Arrow moving into an apartment together, like the Odd Couple?
Playing darts at the bar.
Like, one throws a dart, the other throws a tennis ball in the middle and go, pew. Didn't think you still had it in you. You should play golf with me later. 18 and 18. Boom.
Well, and again, that's like I was saying earlier, like nothing against Jeremy Renner. I think he's a fantastic actor, but like reading.
Here we go.
I'm just saying, reading the Hawkeye comics, he doesn't really, you know, he doesn't fit with the.
He doesn't fit old man Hawkeye from the current Jeff Lemire series.
pretty much. And where's Kate?
Well, that was, James actually brought this up. He goes, what? Because Jeremy Renner said he wants to do a Netflix series of Hawkeye, like a season or two.
Right.
And James was like, wouldn't it be awesome if after Infinity War, Hawkeye's wife and kids take off and leave him, and then he meets Kate Bishop and then do the Netflix thing. I'm like, that would actually be amazing.
Yeah,
that'd be so awesome if, you know, he got a divorce and got shitty.
No, he's like all in his apartment. He's got the dog.
The storyline would be cool.
Rat-infested apartment. He's just shooting him with the arrow because he's bored. He's like, remember when I was cool?
That used to be a thing.
So they
you see him like trying to text Captain America or something. They're like not responding.
These guys never talk to me no more. He tries to friend him on Facebook. He gets blocked. You guys are all dicks. I was an Avenger, damn it. And then Kate Bishop meets him on Tinder, and he goes on a date. Next thing you know, they're...
All right, this is... we're giving away too much here. Yeah. This is going to be our thing.
They find out...
Copyright.
Fred, ex-Hydra member, lives down in the apartment. He's like, I used to play backgammon with that guy. Now I got to shoot at him. It was all right.
What about Civil War now?
Oh, I don't know. You guys... discussing movie ideas.
Well, I was talking about Hawkeye, that's all.
So yeah, in the trailers they sort of more allude to the whole Bucky Barnes thing, Winter Soldier, this, that, and the other thing, and it was an integral part, but it was less than actually, it wasn't the exact way the trailers portrayed it, I guess.
Actually, it kind of was.
Not really.
He was central to the conflict of that whole movie.
No, yeah, but not in the way, shape, or form that they portrayed it as in. He was just straight up rogue, and that wasn't the case. He was reprogrammed again. The way they showed it in the trailers, they made it out to be that at the end of Winter Soldier, they get Bucky, and he remembers who he is, but then he's going on this crazy thing where he starts...
He's Jules in it.
Where he starts fighting people, and that wasn't exactly the case. He was captured and reprogrammed. You know what I mean? So that
didn't last, though.
Again,
there's more to it than that, but we don't want to give too much away.
Right,
on
exactly,
the podcast,
but
is what we're saying.
There's a big part of in the trailer that everyone was like, "Oh my god!" And that was when, and I'm not giving anything away here, was when he fires the gun at Tony's face, and Tony has his one-handed Iron Man hand. I'll just call it that, and that blocks the bullet. And Tony's look of shock, like, "Jesus, you just tried to legit kill me here. You ain't cool." And that was due to reprogramming, not due to him just still being his, not coming, I don't know how to explain this, being his normal Bucky Barnes self.
Good thing he had the glitter glove.
You know what I mean? So there was more behind that. It wasn't that, well, what I'm saying is it wasn't that Steve Rogers is sticking up for a guy that's actually bad. He was reprogrammed once again. And in the movie, they show that a little bit better, is what I'm saying, that Bucky didn't want to kill people, but when he is reprogrammed once again, he has no control over it. Do you follow what I'm saying now?
Yeah, I followed it like 5 minutes ago.
Well, I know that, but, you know, I got this guy doing Michael Jackson. And well, I'm explaining my point that he said he was integral, and I'm not saying that he wasn't. I'm just saying that it wasn't exactly what you were led to believe in the trailers. That's all.
It was just like in the Naked Gun. Just like, do you like tacos? Must kill Drebin.
Jesus, dude. The other thing I did want to mention, like, there's that, you know, that couple of seconds in the trailer where they show Captain America and the Winter Soldier fighting Iron Man, and they're tossing a shield back and forth, and it looks really awesome. And yeah, it's totally awesome. And that entire fight scene is so awesome.
Right, and that's the twist at the end.
I know, right? Like, come on.
We won't give that away, but there's...
Do you like
at the very end, everything's set back up, and sort of you get that whole Batman versus Superman where, okay, we're all going to be on the same team and go do some stuff and things, and then some shocking revelations ensue, and we're back on the flight path.
Yeah, like, I'm just more or less trying to say, like, you know, that looks like it would be the highlight of that fight, but it was just... You know, a small part
that was,
of
that
just
was,
a really
that
well
was
choreographed
nothing
like fight
in that
scene.
Fight. That what they showed, which was amazing, was nothing compared to how it actually went out.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Not that was awesome, and it got even awesome.
It was so good. It was awesome.
Do you like websites? Awesome.
It was actually amazing.
You know that one song?
Although
that song
I didn't like the way it played out, but I'm over it.
You didn't like the way the reveal played out?
No, I didn't like the way that fight scene ended, but I'm over it.
Oh, well, yeah. Why? Because you wanted Iron Man to win?
Yeah.
Well, it's no secret that he's Captain Iron Man.
Yeah, I just didn't think... I didn't have an emotional investment in the winner. I was more interested in, like, the future of the overall story, I guess.
I honestly didn't think Iron Man was going to win.
I didn't like who won Batman vs. Superman either. So, what are you going to do?
See, I was more like, I hope they don't end this on a happy note. And they didn't, so I was
For me, I didn't like that they... I didn't want them to end it on, you know, unicorns and rainbows, but I didn't want them to... The way it ended for me, personally, I was like, really?
Well, here's the thing that I like about the Russo's movies as opposed to other Marvel movies. Every other Marvel movie has, like, the big fight scene, and at the end, you know, the character dressed in his normal clothes goes up to his ex-wife and goes, well, I gotta hit the road, babe, but here's a teddy bear for our kid. Boom! And then he drives away, and then the Beach Boys play, and the movie's over. This movie always ends...
Which one was that?
Ant-Man, for example.
Oh.
He fights Corey Stahl in the bedroom and saves the day. So now, here's a teddy bear. I'm going to go be an Avenger. Ba-boom! And then he leaves. And it's like, I wish they all could be. But this movie, all these movies end on like a, what just happened? Like, everything's falling apart and people...
Well, they have to end it that way because there's going to be another one, you know? Like,
even Avengers, though. It ends with them all getting into Corvettes and driving away and all these girls going, Thor's so hot. He's the best. These movies have no resolution at the end. That's why they're the best.
I wouldn't say it had no resolution.
Dude, legit, you're out of control today.
It had no resolution at all. It left with the Avengers more fractured than they were when they started.
But it also left with a love note saying, you know I only did what I had to do, and if you ever need me, you know I'll come. Here's a phone to you, call me.
Yeah, so he's like, here's a...
Yeah, I still...
Here's a rotary phone.
I just saw it.
Klondike 571.
I mean, I know they're going to use that as the, we'll team up in the next one, but yeah. I just, to me, it was kind of like, if you're going to make it the civil, like, I feel like they're going to just leave this out there now for the rest of the...
And you think there's going to be a next Avengers where they're all friends again?
Well,
without actually, wrapping this up?
Not going to wrap it. I feel like at this point in time, it's going to be almost impossible to wrap that up.
My guess is that somehow the whole Thanos angle in Infinity War 1 and 2 is going to bring them back together.
Well, yeah,
They're going to have to re-coagulate.
The governments will have to give them the autonomy that they want or whatever, so they'll just do whatever they want again, probably.
What you're saying is we don't even need to see it.
Not really.
Thor will bring Loki and they'll all be friends, and then there'll be a dance. That's when the resolution comes. That's when you have the dance party.
I would like to see them bring in the Lady Thor. Still one of my favorite comic runs. Still super good.
Oh, that's the other trailer we saw.
I'd like to see them bring in Grumpy Cat. Let's make this a thing.
We were thinking of the trailers. Doctor Strange will be out. And I'm wondering if he might have a part in the Infinity Wars then, if I had to guess.
Well, I don't think they would introduce these characters just for the fun of it. I mean, I'm sure there's a grander scheme overall, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we'll get there. And we'll be there with you guys all along the way. Let's number this and get out of people's faces.
No, hold
faces.
On. Just quick side note. Paul Rudd, I just want to reiterate the fact that he killed it. And when they brought him in and he met Captain America for the first time,
dude,
that was awesome.
I agree. That's what I was trying to say earlier.
When he put hands on him and like kind of, I don't want to say felt him up, but he felt him up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like, holy, you know, it was just, that was a, Paul Rudd had his own. Like we said, Tom Holland had kind of a dork out moment when he met all the Avengers, but so did Paul Rudd.
Oh, yeah.
You're shaking your head like you hate it.
My most satisfied non-like main storyline moment was Vision cooking dinner for Scarlet Witch.
Right, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
When he said, I don't eat, and he kind of makes the eat motion with his hands.
Well, I don't know if anyone else reads the current Tom King, The Visions comic book series. It's probably the best thing Marvel has right now. It's the Vision creates a wife and two kids for himself, buys a house in the suburbs of Alexandria, Virginia, and works for the government in an office job. Super weird. It's like the Stepford Wives with superheroes. It's just the most bizarre thing ever. And seeing him in a cardigan with like loafers made me think of that book. I don't know if they said, let's dress him up like, you know, Dad Knows Best because of the comic. But if they did, that's the best, because that series is hilariously amazing. It's super just awkward. And that's how it felt. Like, when he's like, he's like explaining it, she's like, is this paprika? He's like, it's pepper or something. He's, she's like, this is definitely not paprika. He's like, I don't know. I've never had food before.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Paul Bettany has some pretty good, he's a pretty good actor for that.
Paul Bettany could have played Scarlet Witch.
Again, most of the cast is right there. Pretty good. Actually, I liked the Bucky Barnes. Who's that guy? Sebastian?
That guy's the best.
He's actually what everyone raves about Winter Soldier, and not that I don't like it. I was just, it's good. I mean, the Bucky Barnes character in that one I didn't think was like amazing, to be honest.
All I'm going to say is that knife fight in the street is the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
The what?
The knife fight between him and Steve Rogers.
When?
Like the middle of the Winter Soldier. It's like the greatest thing I've ever seen.
We'll have to watch it and talk about it, but for now...
I've seen that movie 32 times and it doesn't stand out. That's my point.
Does a number stand out in your head, maybe?
On this one?
Yeah.
Again, I really, really liked it, but it was flat in some parts for me, to be honest, and I didn't like the end. I'm not even going to deduct points for shaky cam, but I'd probably give it a 8 to 8.5.
I feel like I said earlier, there's so much secondary detail in this movie that I feel like I'd want to see it a second time to kind of be able to process it all. So at the moment, I'm going to say a 9. It's still like right at the tip top of the Marvel.
I think if I see it again, I might get up there, but... For me right now, Batman vs. Superman was better.
See, I agree.
People will hate me for saying that.
No, cause I completely agree. But again, I got so, I guess, out of it right away because of the stupid shaky cam. And that probably did skew a lot of the movie for me. Overall, though, it was actually the score was probably going to be a little lower. But now that having talked about it... my feelings.
And re-liking some things.
Yeah, that like.
You forgot you liked?
Yeah, so I'm at an 8. I'm not to say that it can't go higher once I rewatch it and enjoy it, but right now it's just.
Yeah, I'd like to sneak into a theater again before, I don't want to wait. I'd like to. Well, I mean, I'll wait a couple of weeks.
It'll be gone by then. I mean, the theater runs nowadays are so short.
No, they'll keep it out there.
We've got to get prepared for Warcraft.
Yeah, but I would like to see it again before, what am I talking about? Before X-Men.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for that.
Awesome. I don't know, and this is just me talking shit, but I think X-Men might be the best one
of the year. I'm cautiously optimistic about that.
I know, I exactly. I don't want to be like overly...
Well, you heard it here first. Mike thinks it's going to be a 10.
Yeah, I don't. It will not be a 10 because there's no such thing. But let's move on. But I do think that has the potential to be possibly the best of, let's just say, these three we're talking about. Batman versus Superman, Captain America Civil War, and X-Men Apocalypse. I think X-Men Apocalypse might have a shot at the title.
I don't disagree.
It might come in third. I don't know, but it's got potential.
And maybe we'll do a podcast on it.
I think we want
Batman versus Superman versus Civil War versus X-Men.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to that. I'd actually like to do one on Batman versus Superman versus Civil War because there was a lot of striking similarities for me, I thought. Like the whole, just the way, like I was saying earlier, but...
Yeah, we'll get there.
I think there was a lot of things that you could compare.
So, that be all being said, let us know what you think. Go on our Facebook. We'll have the post. You can, comment and discuss what you agree with, don't disagree with. But until next time, you can find me on Twitter at XHorseAndX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. And you can find Mike at Review and Roast. Have a good week.